spent a great deal of time in the last few years researching ways to deal with crime and criminal recidivism. Very early in my career, I decided that I could not spend my life doing nothing more than putting people in jail, particularly when so many of them reminded me of myself. I became involved in civic organizations that were investigating youth crime, a civic league in St. Louis called Confluence St. Louis. I chaired a committee that spent 2 years looking at youth crime, looking at at-risk youth, looking at ways to help young people build resiliency to crime. It was in that context that when Mr. Ankosaria came to me with the idea of transcendental meditation as a rehabilitative tool, that I decided to listen and not yield to the normal predispositions of TM as something that only Californians do in their off hours. That listening was enlightening for me. I listened not only to what Mr. Ankosaria had to say, but I spent some time researching on my own. I dug for the negative. When I would speak about it on television or in groups, occasionally someone would give me a call or write me a letter telling me how terrible this was. I would talk to them. I would invite them to give me greater detail. In every case, I found that only those who had given a short shrift because of the kinds of prejudices and predispositions that I mentioned earlier, that was the only reason they took the positions that they took. And in fact, no one could give me any reasons why not that made any sense. In our country, as you well know, criminal recidivism is a problem as well as the spread of criminality, particularly amongst our nation's youth. The statistics suggest that we're headed in the year 2000 for a second new crime wave, one that may bite us more viciously than any previous crime wave. This country must do something about that, and we must do something more than simply getting tough, because as the last two decades have shown, the tougher we become, the more criminality we have to deal with. So simply getting tough, while in many cases necessary, is without question not the solution to the problem. We must therefore look for ways, I believe, to help the offender and the potential offender avoid crime, to build resiliencies. For most Americans, that's easy. For everyone sitting in this room, the mere fact that it's illegal is enough. And maybe for those who merely that something is illegal isn't enough, the mere fact that they might go to jail or somehow be punished is enough. And that's true for the great majority of Americans. But there are many Americans, quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, who are born into lives of quiet desperation, where they worry much more about the effect of their lives of a stray bullet than they are concerned about the Dow Jones. Where when they're in school, they're much more concerned about making it through the day safely than whether they have an Afrocentric education. Where they're much more concerned about the next meal than the next president. Those issues that people like us consume with our time, concerns of abortion and everything else, go through the heads, over the heads of individuals in these situations, because their lives are involved with survival. They see maybe on television people like yourselves, but the reality of life is that the person who seems to be doing best in the area, in their community, is the individual who is making it through gang activity, making it through the selling of illicit drugs, making it through other criminal contact. That power and respect does not come through the earning of degrees, but through the carrying of weapons. It's not the letters that you're after your name, but the caliber of your handgun that's going to get you respect. I'm very familiar with that community because I grew up in it. I know what it's like to see that. And in the years since I left those circumstances, it's gotten even worse. As we have segregated our nation's poor into massive housing projects, into large urban areas where there's block after block after block of poverty, we find ourselves surprised that there are no role models, that there are no community centers or businesses or people around that can give and help build resiliency in our nation's youth. We should not be surprised, therefore, that crime is a viable alternative, and we should not be surprised at the tremendous emotional stress of living under those circumstances results in violence and criminal responses. Transcendental meditation has proven itself to me through the research that I have read as a methodology of helping someone develop the internal resiliency necessary to deal with those circumstances. It doesn't take much studying, and I'm sure the good doctor next to me will point this out, to understand that problems of self-esteem, that problems of one's visions of oneself play a significant role when one looks at the temptations of crime and makes the personal decision as to whether to move in that direction or not. By helping one develop the type of internal mechanisms, not the external that comes from the counseling and things like that where people tell someone what to do, but the internal resiliency that makes one gain greater consciousness of themselves as a person, greater consciousness of the value of their own thoughts, greater consciousness of the value of their own life, then results in people having a vision for themselves, a future for themselves. And all of a sudden, the thought of doing things that lead to prison seem undesirable because it doesn't fit in a vision of self that causes one to value self. And of course, as you value yourself, you then begin to value others. That is why, in my view, the teaching of transcendental meditation to offenders and potential offenders is an important aspect of criminal rehabilitation that we must look at seriously in this country. We must try it in every state, in every prison. We must give it a serious chance, and I am convinced that if we do in this nation, we will find that it will pay off for us in reduced crime, reduced recidivism, and quite frankly, better living conditions in our nation's cities.